Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, podcast about Kamen Rider. I'm Jeff.
Something matter with you today, buddy?
No!
Did you enjoy Ghost this week?
Yeah.
Jeff, do you need to go to sleep or something? Or is this a bad time?
I could come back later and do this.
We'll see you next week, everyone.
I'm just excited about Rider Club Radio, like all of our fans are.
Ooh-ah!
I'm going to introduce yourself?
I'm Liam. There you go. Hi.
Today... And we are up to episode 8 of Kamen Rider Ghost. Maybe stuff will happen in this episode for the first time.
Oh my god, kinda.
Sorta?
A little bit.
Why don't you tell us what happened in today's episode, Liam?
Okay, so the Bee Lady, if you remember the end of the last episode, she turned into this horrible CGI abomination.
She turned into a bee on a dump truck.
Yeah, like I said, a CIA abomination.
Yeah, it's good.
And Takeru fights her, and she runs off. She gets, like, beat, and then she runs away. She gets beat, and then she runs off, though. She doesn't explode.
This podcast is over.
No, but it was a good joke.
Just tell us what happened in the fucking episode or you're fired.
Okay, so everyone that was getting controlled by the bee, everything comes back to normal except for the one guy's best friend who we heard about. And he runs off with the best friend and they go looking for him.
Yeah, fun fact about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He could absolutely play me in an all-Japanese version of my life story.
Why?
He dresses he's a loser, he dresses exactly like me, he's pudgy, and he constantly slouches.
Perfect. Jeff
That's
in a nutshell.
That's me to a T.
So they run around looking for him, and they find out after questioning a bunch of people that they're in, wouldn't you know it, an abandoned factory on the other side of town. So they go there, and there's, like, a bunch of brainwashed people, and they're building a monolith, another one just like the one that Ghost has in his basement. Oh, sorry, I was a burp. They find them in an abandoned...
The level of professionalism is amazing.
I know, this podcast, it's so high. But Spectre interrupts, and instead of just fighting for no reason, he actually talks to Takeru a little bit, and Takeru figures out that Spectre is Makoto, and so they have a big... talk, they have a big fight, and Spectre is like, he reveals his motivations as to why he's so heartless towards Takeru. He talks about how, oh, you know, I was trapped in the ghost world, me and my sister were trapped in the ghost world, and you just fucking left us there, you forgot about us, we hate you. And so they fight, and just when it looks like Takeru's about to be beat, he escapes, he uses the Newton thing and blows up a bunch of cars.
Hey, he's like, holy shit, I have forms other than Musashi?
Yeah, who knew? And then he runs off. So they go to the factory, he finds the factory, and they're building the monolith there, and the Bee Lady is there. So Takeru fights the Bee Lady, he beats the Bee Lady, and they split, and the monolith blows up. And Alan is like, well, the monolith, well, that's just one piece of my master plan.
And then he twirls his giant mustache.
He twirls his huge, waxy mustache. And then the episode ends. So
you skip the whole part where Onari and Akari are kidnapped. And CGI fuckfest that happens at the beginning of the episode.
I talked about the CGI abomination.
You talked about it being a CGI abomination.
Yeah.
I made a better joke than you.
Fuck off. And who cares about Akari and Onari getting kidnapped? They got tied up, and then they got out because Ghost saved them
before he fights the bee. And they have a supremely unfunny bit where they suspect one another of being possessed.
Yes. The end. Akari and Onari, thank you, everyone. Did you like Ghost Episode 8 or not, Jeff?
Weirdly enough, I think in the history of Rider Club Radio, there's never been an episode where I didn't really have a strong opinion one way or another about an episode.
Okay.
But I have no strong opinion whatsoever about this episode. It happened and I watched it.
Well, that's a huge step up from last week, so...
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't feel like bashing my head against a wall, hoping something would change.
Okay, I think I liked it a little more than you.
It, like, I didn't really have any strong feelings about it. Like, I enjoyed watching it. The fight scene was pretty neat.
Okay.
And none of the characters were aggravating.
Yeah, see...
And Takeru didn't do his normal wishy-washy horse shit.
Yeah. It was nice. I liked the fight with Spectre and how Spectre kind of, like, talks and actually shows off a bit of his character and emotes a little bit in the battle. We get to find out a little more about him and how he feels about things, which is nice. It fleshes him out as a rival.
That's true.
And you get to see Takeru react to it, which is another... It's a little development point for his character, and it'll complicate their relationship in the future. So that was a good little plot point. I think that was a big point in this episode's favor.
Yeah, I really hope that leads somewhere. That, like, their relationship gets more complicated as it goes along. And it's not just Ghost being like, "No, we must not fight, Base. We are not enemies."
Shut up.
Every episode from here on out, I hope their relationship gains complexity.
Me too. But we can only hope from now.
And I mean, it might. I will say that this episode was quite a step up from the last episode for me.
Yeah.
I watched it. I didn't... Maybe it's just because I'm so, like, burnt out from waiting for something neat to happen. That something neat happened and I didn't even really notice. Because you're right. Makoto actually got development this time, and we learned a little bit more of the backstory. And we get to learn as time goes on, of course, that Takeru's dad isn't some horrible mad scientist villain.
Yeah, he and the Tooth Guy were opening a portal to the Ganma world, and there was some sort of complication, and Spectre...
It'll be revealed that, like, Tooth Guy obviously fucked it up, and it's not really Takeru's dad's fault or whatever, but for right now, the show is making us feel like it's Takeru's dad's fault, and that's a neat dimension.
Yeah, at least partially it was like an accident or something. Maybe he went too far. He played God. And then he paid the price.
That would be a really interesting development if he actually was responsible for it. Like, he did play God and caused it to happen.
Yeah.
It probably won't be.
Probably not.
It'll probably be Tooth Guy.
Yeah, because he's, you know, walking around pissing on Ryu's grave every time he sees it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I love how fucking toothless Makoto is around that guy, though.
Yeah.
Pun intended. The guy's like, "Hey, your fucking sister's dead, you bitch. What are you gonna do about it?" And he's like, "Don't talk about my sister. I told you not to."
Yeah, he's like, "I told you what would happen if you talked about my sister." And Tooth Guy's like, "What's gonna happen?" Inspector's like, "Stop. Just stop.
You better cut it out or you're going to find out."
"Next time I'll show you what's going to happen. I promise."
"Are you crying?" "No. No."
But I think the A plot was fine in this episode about you know, the backstory of Spectre and stuff. But the B plot.
How much more of this do I have to fucking deal with? How much do I have to fucking have thrown on me?
Well, we're like 8.5 minutes in, so you got like 50 more.
Oh, God.
The B plot was, it was entirely unremarkable, I agree with you. It was not horrible, it was an episodic, there was a monster, and it got beat, and that was that.
It got beat?
I can't begrudge you that.
I fucking hate myself.
That was a good one.
Ugh. Yeah, the B was kind of an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
That was something somebody on Twitter said. They said they were a little disappointed that the plot from the last episode was wrapped up in, like, the first 5 minutes.
Which secondary writer is
this?
That was
Dexter.
Yeah.
He said that. We'll get the secondary writer opinions later. We're going to not talk about 90% of your fucking tweets. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about some of them, but...
A few. The choice selections from the crop.
I'm just going to pick three.
Whichever makes the most butt jokes, those are the ones we go for, usually.
Don't tell them that.
They can't know the formula.
You fucking... Like, we made the joke about our names, and now every email we receive is like...
Leary
and Joe. You guys are fucking hilarious, by the way.
Oh.
You're also witty and original. Yeah, this episode was better than the last. I was actually pretty disappointed that we didn't see Spectre's base form in this episode, because I love staring at it.
You know what? I liked that. I want to use as much, like, the fight scene was my favorite part of the whole show, just like last episode.
Because oh, yeah.
They have tons of form use. You get to see Nobunaga, you get to see Musashi, you get to see King Tut, you get to see Newton, you get to see all these different forms getting thrown around. They get to use them so much, and I want every fight to be like that. I want them to just fucking throw suits around like it ain't no thing.
I'm confused about what Makoto was after in that fight, because he was like, I'll do whatever it takes to bring my sister back. And then he just shows up and beats up a helpless little boy.
You mean Takeru?
Yeah.
He wants his icons.
But he didn't try and take any of them.
Well, you know, he would've if he beat him up. We should probably mention, I forgot, I skimmed over this, I totally didn't mention it, but Tooth Guy reveals in this episode that there's only 15 icons and he has fucking 5 of them. And Makoto has, I think, 4, and Ghost has 5.
So there's 1 left, and we're getting that next episode.
And you know what this means, though? You know what this means? There's only 15 icons.
Yeah, this Banjo-Kazooie-ass collectathon is almost over. That's what it means.
That means that the whole formula of the hugging with the tear is probably going to be over soon. And that means there aren't enough icons for everyone. Takeru gets to come back to life, or Makoto gets to save his sister, not both. And that's going to be a really, really interesting, like, angle.
You say that, but at the very tail end of this episode, Makoto is pledging that he'll do anything to bring his sister back. He's talking to the icon that she's in, and he's like, wait, what's wrong? And she says, actually, big brother.
Actually, big bro, I'm not actually dead. This is just a walkie-talkie that you've been talking into.
Next episode, she's going to be like, actually, I don't want you to hurt Takeru to bring me back or whatever.
Well, that'll be a nice conflict for his character, you know?
Yeah, he'll have to decide whether he wants to follow his sister's wishes or bring her back. And I feel like he's the kind of character that's just going to try and bring her back anyway.
Good. That'll
be
fun.
Which would be very interesting.
Yeah. He's doing it against her wishes. That would be super... That'd be very interesting, an angle.
I still like Makoto better than Takeru, but Takeru's slowly starting to grow on me.
Yeah, hopefully that continues, because Takeru's been sort of... His character has been sort of difficult to grasp since the beginning of the show.
It still kind of is.
Yeah, but give him time. Give him time. There's good signs in this episode.
Yeah, there might be a quicker turnaround this time around than there was in Drive.
Yeah, I hope so, because Drive's turnaround took too long.
I think they're realizing that the strength of the cast isn't there in the same way it was in Drive.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to jump into the heavy story stuff quicker.
I wonder if just having the 5 icons just already made and in the Teeth Man's possession, I wonder if that was planned from the start, or if they changed that at some point during the writing process, like they had something else planned.
It seems kind of, like, rushed.
Yeah. It seems like they're just trying to get through... The like you said, the Banjo-Kazooie collectathon, just fucking finish it so you can start the real plot. And I'm totally all for that. I don't care what you have to do to get through it to start the real thing, but like it does seem a little bit rushed.
I'm not sure if that was like a rewrite later or not, because there's all that hubbaloo about the fucking days passing so quickly.
That's true, yeah. It's like 30 days left in this episode or something. It's really close.
Yeah, it's like 28 or something. It's like counting down fast.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be within the next 10 episodes probably that we hit the deadline.
I figure it'll be within the next three or four.
Deadline.
Do you see the disappointment on my face, Liam?
I can. This episode is gonna be great. I can already tell. I mean, this, like, episode of our podcast, because of the sick puns.
Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about Ghost for a second. I was like, you know you fucking watched it already, right? Liam, have you taken your medicine today?
Everything's fine, Jeff. Everything's fine. Just keep going.
Don't talk about my medicine. Don't talk about my medicine.
Yeah, don't tell the audience about the medicine, please.
Liam has anti-dumb brain syndrome medicine.
Yeah,
he hasn't taken it in years.
Oh, I was going to say, I take it for the podcast so I can be smarter than you.
Yeah, he hasn't taken it in years.
Oh. Ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum. So did you like the episode, Jeff, or are you still neutral about it?
I'm a little bit above neutral.
Okay.
Talking about it lets me see its merits, and I will say that I'm a couple ticks above neutral on it. I enjoyed it.
That's about where I am. I liked it quite a bit. It was a fine episode. Not great.
I did enjoy the special effect, and I'm not like big on the CG or anything, but I liked when the cars fly in to block the blast. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was a nifty way to end the fight.
Yeah, so often it seems like fights in Kamen Rider like exist. It's like an animation cell where the background is on one layer and the characters are on another, and they don't interact.
Yeah.
And like a fighting game
or something.
Yeah, it's nice when the characters interact with the scenery around them when they're fighting.
Like, the setting of the fight actually fucking matters.
Yeah, this time. Like, breaking through the wall, like in a Mortal Kombat game or something.
Yeah. I get what you mean. It was a cool fight. It was a very good... Probably best scene in the show. Or, best scene in the episode, I mean.
My God.
That fight was the best scene in all of Kamen Rider from 1971 to today.
Oh my God. William has such strong opinions today. Fuck your heartfelt endings. Fuck your Kuga ending. It's all about that fight scene today.
I finished... Are we done talking about the episode?
Yeah, I don't think there's really that much to say about it.
Okay, thumbs a little above middle.
We're fucking doing reviews of the episodes based on the, like... mathematical angle of our thumb at this point.
This is the gladiator method. It's very effective.
Yeah, it was alright. That's my review. You can put that on the box when you release the DVD, Toei. It's alright, Jeff.
okay.
Alright, so we have to get through the fucking secondary opinions, son.
I want to talk about me more, though.
No one cares about you. They only want to hear about themselves.
All right, what's this?
Well, secondary rider opinions. From here on out, our Twitter is going to be the place to tell us how you disagree with us before you even know what we fucking have to say about it. Go onto Twitter after you've watched the new episode of Ghost and tell us what you think about it, and we'll discuss it here on the podcast during this little section that people will be waiting with all their attention on this section, hoping to hear about themselves, so it's the perfect place to hear about you,
and
make sure everybody else has to hear.
What do you have?
Well, the quickest and the dirtiest is Mr. James 079 says, Spectre really needs a therapist.
No kidding.
He has a sister complex that just won't quit. Like, he is willing to murder his childhood best friend to get some fucking eyeball toys.
Imagine having to be that therapist for that man. When he tells you about how he got trapped in the ghost world. And you're like,
alright,
well...
Do you just commit somebody when that happens?
Yeah, no, you give them every medicine you can possibly prescribe. And then you throw them in the fucking loony bin.
You just inject them with a bullet. Dear psychiatrist, please do not take Rider Club Radio's advice on psychiatric help.
Any aspiring psychiatrists out there, stop listening right this moment. I don't want this to be played in a court one day. I don't want to hear this audio in front of like a laptop in front of a judge.
It'll be great because they don't actually know who we are. So they'll do like fucking two nations worth of a manhunt in America and Canada trying to find us.
The hunt is on for the mysterious fucking awful advice givers.
Two idiots on podcast calls wave of deaths across psychic worlds.
Now, I knew this podcast is shitty, but not that shitty. Oh my God.
Oh my God, the suicides. At Copper Popper says, the CG sucked. We got a reason for Spectre to be super pissed. Ghost telling people about his identity. I liked it a lot overall.
The CG...
Also, I'm glad the hunt for MacGuffins is almost over.
Yeah, me too. But saying the CG sucked is sort of like... It's sort of like when you're talking about cereal. You're like, yeah, man, this got milk in it. It's like... Kamen Rider always has bad CG, always.
Yeah.
It's a moot point.
Ever since CG became a thing.
Yeah.
and it's called Tokusatsu Special Effects.
Yeah, so you can't not have.
So there's no getting around it, sadly. You better get used to that fucking gray Photoshop filter, son. Here's the thing.
Ghost hasn't even used it that much yet.
Not really. Not but there's really. The thing, when he's riding the fucking iguana, like, the iguana is meticulously shaded and everything, and it has, like, textures.
Yeah.
And the little ghost on his back is, like, fucking untextured completely.
The ghost looks like one of those... those ghost change action figures that you can get on, on Amazon for, like, $10.
He doesn't even look like a fucking figure art. He looks like the ghost change.
Yeah, those really shitty ones with the hoodie that, like, sticks off of them. It's really big and shit. It's a terrible, terrible CGI model. Jesus
Why
Christ.
Did they put so much effort into the iguana, which still looks like shit, by the way, and then just not even texture ghost? Nobody's going to be looking at the main character. They're going to be too busy looking at this sweet-ass iguana.
They just want to get it done and go home. They're like, the special effects people are like, how many big CGI fights are in this one? One? All right, fuck. Give me that toy. I got to make the model.
I need to go home and see my wife, not until you texture that Kamen Rider ghost.
He smashes the keyboard a couple times. All right, get the fuck out of here.
There, goddammit, I haven't seen my kids in 6 weeks. Our next tweet is from @EdgarDerp. Nice name, buddy.
Okay.
He says, I'm surprised they already introduced more of the icons in Toothman's possession. Looking for them probably won't be the focus anymore. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things about the A-plot development of this episode, because it means Ghost is going to stop fucking about. It's hopefully not just going to be another, like, it's not going to keep being formulaic from here on and episodic. We might, you know, start get some real plot progression. So
I'd be fine if it was episodic in, like, the way that, say, like, American television series that have an overarching plot seem to be.
An overarching
tend to
plart.
Be. They have the plart, all right? They have an overarching plot, but the episodes themselves tend to be episodic, like, say, the Netflix series that Marvel has been doing.
Oh, yeah, like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and them, yeah.
Yeah, they each episode, sometimes they'll have, like, two episodes to deal with, like, a smaller plot, but the show itself is focusing very heavily on the large plot.
Yeah.
And I think that would be great for Ghost, and I hope it slides into something like that.
Yeah, I think that'd be good, too.
Because I would actually really like to learn more about, like, the setting, the world,
the Ganma
backstory.
And yeah, where they come from and what all this shit is. Yeah.
Like, all the secrets. I want to know the secrets.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. So, those were not very strong opinions. But we appreciate you guys writing them in.
Somebody write in and say Ghost is the best Heisei, and then we'll have a lot to say about that.
Oh,
that's all you have
God.
To say.
Well, actually, @Sesker9 said the show has really taken off in terms of plot and character development since Spectre got introduced.
Yeah, that's true. It sort of stumbled right after he came out. But, like, starting today, I think today and last week, it's the show is chugging something along.
Here's hoping that it picks up speed and doesn't derail.
Yeah.
There's two extremes that every Kamen Rider series can go to. It can stay in episodic hell, or it can build up so much speed that it derails like a Kabuto or a Hibiki.
I wouldn't mind another Kabuto. If it means, like, between 2 weeks between now and the next one, Ghost is, like, the conductor of a train, and he's, like, trying to ride it down to the core of the Earth to find the ultimate, like, bottle full of fucking sun juice.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Just, like, a plot that just goes insane and doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Oh, okay. I thought you seriously did need medication.
No.
I'm gonna throw this out here. Talking about Kabuto, I'm going to throw Dead Guy under the bus.
Okay, what
Tamaz is... talked to me the other day and said that he hates Kabuto. He's only watched a few episodes and he hates it.
Wait, how do you hate Kabuto seeing the beginning of it? The beginning was like the strongest part of the show.
Well, I understand in a way because he hates Tendo.
Okay. Yeah.
Because Tendo's a piece of shit, and Kagami hasn't really had time to shine yet.
Yeah.
At that point.
Kagami shines forth later.
We talked about it a bit, and it sounds like he might give it more of a shot, but he might not. Write in at Rider Club Radio and tell the dead guy to fucking watch Kabuto, and I'll show him all the messages.
We'll relay it. I liked Tendo. I didn't like Tendo as a person, but I liked watching him. He was a very interesting guy.
Tendo becomes a plot point at some point, really. He shows up and fights the monster and wins, and then the other characters get to do things
in
between. Yeah,
Kagami is the anchor character, but we've talked about this plenty before.
Yeah. So, write in at Rider Club, write in at Rider Club Radio on Twitter or RiderClubRadio@gmail.com and tell the dead guy to watch fucking Kabuto.
Yeah, and dead guy, if you're listening, fucking watch Kabuto.
He's not gonna now. Now that you said it.
Yeah, I guess. Don't watch Kabuto.
Oh, you tricked him. He'll do it now.
Got him now.
Why don't you tell us about what you finally finished after eons? After 10,000 years, you're free.
It's time to conquer Earth. This week, I just shotgunned the last 5 episodes of Kamen Rider Kuga. The last episode was like a special, so it wasn't a real thing. But I finally finished it. And I fucking adored it. It had deep, deep problems, especially around the middle. But overall, I thought it was a very good series. Jeff, you've seen it before a long time ago, right?
A long-ass time ago, but yeah.
Yeah. It was very, very good. It had issues with its pacing, I think.
Yeah, it did. The thing is, everybody who is... who complains about the pacing and stuff is probably watching it on a more regular basis than I was watching it at the time. Because I would watch, like, an episode a week, like you were supposed to. I'm not sure why.
That's the reason why it took me so long with Kuga, is because it's paced like a Showa series, where at the beginning it explodes out of the gate, and it's like, oh, you get introduced to all this stuff, and it's so endearing. And then the plot really just, like, grinds down, and suddenly the plot of every episode, like the A plot about the Grongi and stuff, the plot would just be like, here's a new Grongi, and the cops have a new bullet, and maybe Kuga gets a new form, and then they beat the new Grongi, and Kuga gives a thumbs up, and then they go on to the next Grongi, and that really grates on you, and the show sort of saves it by having little B plots about, like, side characters doing things. Like, one is about the lady that makes the bullets, the scientist lady. She has to reconnect with her son, which is one of my favorites.
That's actually a pretty good one.
And that's, I think, one of Kuga's strongest points, is it uses its side characters so well to sort of cushion the impact of the shitty pacing in the middle. But it is still sort of it's a sticking point. That's why it took me so long, was because it's just not a show that you can marathon, that kind of show. But the beginning,
I mean, you can, but you really are gonna get sick in the middle.
Yeah, the beginning,
like,
and ending.
The show
are...
is great. The action is really. I would say that the action in Kuga is about as realistic as you could get with a karate bug man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's always enjoyable.
Yeah.
But if you're you get used to series that have a lot of plot in them.
Yeah.
And a lot of forward momentum, whether that gets derailed or starts to slow in speed, but...
If you watch Heisei, you get in there. Yeah.
Kuga is patterned, like, exceptionally heavily after, like, a Showa series. They hadn't really experimented with a heavy, like, plot, narrative-driven show. It was, like, piece by piece by piece. But it was, like... I don't even know. It was like grain by grain instead.
I don't know. Maybe we can talk more about this in a spoiler cast in the future.
Yeah, we'll get around to that one year.
Someday. But for now, I would like to say that I very, very much enjoyed Kuga overall, despite the slow middle. The beginning and ending were absolutely worth it, and the characters kept me watching.
Absolutely.
So it was great. Jeff, I heard you finished something very, very quickly this week.
Yeah, I finished Blade. It took me a couple weeks. But I was only watching, like, a couple episodes a night.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe some nights I'd watch more than a couple, but I just jumped in and finished, like, the last 10 or something. And then I watched the Missing Ace movie.
Oh, which... is that the one with the smiling guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's great. He's the most interesting character in all of Kamen Rider.
Is that for serious?
No, he doesn't even fucking have a personality.
Well, he is a movie writer. That comes with the territory.
Yeah, I guess that's true. What is his fucking name? It's, Glaive. Kamen Rider Glaive. Okay. And he fucking, is hideous.
Yeah.
But,
have you seen the video that his actor put out? Where he's talking about his blog?
No.
He's like, it's just him in front of like a wall or a flag or something. He's just sitting on a chair and he's screaming in English at the top of his lungs. And he's like, "This is my blog! Welcome to my blog!" And he's making that dumb smiling face the whole time.
Oh my god.
It's so weird. It's surreal. It's like something out of your nightmares on YouTube.
I need to find this. Maybe we can link this in the description if we find
it. I can't promise anything, but if I can find it, I'll link it in the description. I have no clue what the name of the video is.
But I watched Blade, and I believe I said before, the first, like, 13 episodes of Blade or so are fucking horrible.
Yep.
Like, yeah, you've told me characters that. Are fucking... They're not even characters. They just yell at each other all the time and then, like, shirk away afterwards. And somebody grabs somebody's arm and yells. And they stare introspectively and then say lines that seem out of fucking nowhere.
That sounds great.
No, it doesn't. What is wrong with you?
That sounds at least like something you can chuckle at to pass the time.
Yeah, it is funny. And those 13 episodes where all the fucking Blade memes that everybody thinks are hilarious comes from.
I think they're funny.
Yeah, well, they used to be funny. They were funny at one point before people started linking me them constantly.
I've yet to tire of them.
But after that, the series really starts to pick up. The characters become characters. Mm. And I actually asked on Twitter, I said, does Kenzaki Blade ever develop a personality beyond grabbing people's arms and yelling? And somebody said, short answer, yes. Long answer, yes. And you were absolutely fucking right, dude. Kenzaki became one of my favorite characters in Rider by the end.
Really?
Yeah, he's a great dude. He's like one of those characters like Godai or Shoichi from Agito. Like somebody who's like kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
But they're so super good-hearted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's sort of that's the archetype that early Heisei likes to use a lot.
Yeah, he's kind of got a temper on him as well.
Okay.
Which is a nice change of pace. And to begin with, he has this really great personality quirk where being a Kamen Rider is just his job.
Oh, yeah.
He just looks at it as like a job.
Yeah.
And in the Missing Ace movie, I guess this isn't a fucking spoiler since it's non-canon.
Okay.
After the battle fight, great name, by the way, Toei.
Is that an official...
That is the official name of the monsters thing. It's the battle fight.
The battle fight.
After the battle fight is over, he becomes a trash man. Because he's just a working stiff.
I guess so.
And he loves being a trash man, and all the people in his root love him.
Well, being a trash man pays pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
At least here it does. I don't know about Japan, but...
I don't know. Menial jobs don't pay well in Japan. They think you're a loser. You gotta be a salary man.
Well, but it's a civil servant thing.
Maybe.
I don't know. If you live in Japan...
Kamen Rider Liangle's a fucking loser, and I hate him.
Is Liangle the club guy?
Yeah, he's the spider.
Okay, yeah, alright. Yeah, I know.
And he's a bitch...
Okay.
But all the other writers are great.
That's cool.
And it's really difficult for me to choose between Blade or Garen as my favorite writer in the series.
Well, get back to us.
Maybe one day I'll choose. I actually almost bought the Blade figure art the other day. Yeah.
I hear they
still kind of debating.
I hear they made a Blade toy that's got like the mask rip and you can see his face in it.
Yeah, it's actually got, like, a metallic finish on it as well, on all the silver parts. It looks really cool. That was the one I was looking at.
Does Blade have a lot of mask fucking up?
I
hear it's got more than any other writer.
About, like, three times.
Yeah, that's way more than any other
writer series. It happens to Blade, then happens to Garen, and I think it happens in, like, a non-canon thing as well.
That's cool when that happens, though, because a lot of the time in Kamen Rider, it's kind of hard to see the suit actor and the face actor as the same person.
Yeah.
Because of all the flashy, like, changing between them. And when you get
that happens...
What?
That happens with Agito, like, real bad.
Yeah.
Because, like, doughy, happy-go-lucky Shoichi becomes, like, ass-kicking machine Agito.
But when the mask breaks and you get to see kind of both of them at the same time, the suit and the character, it helps to make that connection a little stronger that a lot of series don't really have.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's fucking
Blade,
cool looking.
Blade's a thumbs up.
Okay.
I like Blade.
So now that you're done with Blade, what's next? What are you going to watch next?
I've actually restarted Forze. I'm on episode 5.
Oh, really?
And I'm liking it more this time around because I went in expecting it to be goofy.
Yeah, because it is pretty goofy.
It is pretty goofy, and I've forced myself to stop caring about how dumb the Forze suit looks.
I hate the Forze suit.
I hate it, too.
I hate
absolutely
the egghead.
Hate it.
I hate that suit.
But really, what got me interested in watching Forze again is I watched Megamax in the Sync Tube recently.
Oh, yeah. Were you guys watching movies without me?
I think you weren't there that night. I think you were doing something else.
Fuck!
But we watched Megamax.
Okay.
And the Forze part in Megamax has, like, the whole Kamen Rider club in it, and they all do his poses with him when he transforms.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I started reading that each of the characters has, like, story arcs developing them, and they all matter to the club and do things that actually help him fight.
Yeah.
And, like, they even have a mech suit that they fight with him in.
Oh, I've seen that in videos and stuff.
The Power Dizer.
Yeah, the Power Dizer, that was it. It was a dumb name, I remember.
Yeah, I got really interested in seeing a Rider series where the secondary characters mattered.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those for a while.
So I started watching it, like, because in the original Kamen Rider series, like, Tobei Tachibana, like, he's an older dude, but he fights mooks sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
Just a little bit, you know, to get away and everything.
Yeah.
And he actually does things that matter to help Hongo, and then, of course, to help Ichimonji. And when Taki Kazuya joins, he's like the mook fucker-upper. That's his job.
Is Kazuya the Interpol guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's FBI.
FBI, that's it.
Yeah,
I haven't seen...
Taki Kazuya, FBI.
Yeah.
And most Rider series, the secondary characters just don't fucking matter to the actual plot. They're there for B-plots.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And sometimes it seems like they're going to matter, like Kiriko with her boots.
I thought you were going to say something else there, yeah.
No, boots.
Boots.
Like in her special boots and gun, and then she doesn't fucking do anything.
Yeah, I think she kicks a guy like twice in the show.
Yeah, she
after
pushes
that.
Wheelchairs in the rest of the series.
That's what the boots are for. They got extra traction, so you can push the wheelchair extra good.
So yeah, it's nice to see secondary characters matter. And boy, is it like a fucking cartoon.
Yeah,
it's like if the Persona series wasn't serious whatsoever.
I've seen that gif that everyone posts around where it's that girl explaining to Gentaro all the different cliques in the school, and it's like the freaks and the jocks and all them, and that...
Yeah, and the jocks are eating spaghetti and doing, like, weights.
Carb loading. That shit makes me laugh every time. That if anything, makes me want to watch Forze just to see shit like
that. It's in episode 1.
Yeah.
And, like, Gentaro keeps, like, going around trying to just make friends with people and, like, talk to them, and he ends up in fights with street toughs all the time.
Yeah.
And, I'm only on episode 5.
Okay.
So, it hasn't really taken off yet.
Yeah.
Taken off.
Taken off. Oh, fuck you. That took me a second.
Space. It has a lot of fucking themes. It's like space and friendship and high school and switches and horoscopes.
Eggs.
And food.
Food. Oh yeah, it's got the food droids.
The food droids.
God, I love the food droids.
It took me like 5 or 6 minutes of the first episode to be like, is his fucking robot a hamburger? Why the fuck is it a hamburger?
No, you don't ask why is it a hamburger. You don't ask why. You ask why not.
But it is a hamburger. Why would I ask why not?
Why shouldn't it be a hamburger?
Because it's not a fucking food. You don't eat robots.
But okay, would you rather have a little robot helper that just looked like a gray box, or would you have a little robot helper that looks like a box of McDonald's French fries?
That would be pretty cute.
Exactly.
And the robot is cute, and I like that Forze is seemingly thus far, like, all technology.
Yeah.
That doesn't really happen all that often.
Well, Ryder is sometimes a little ambiguous about whether it's like a suit or whether it's like a body transformation thing.
Well, even if it is a suit, the source of it isn't like man-made or technological in that way. It's like the Blade Riders use tech to transform, but they use like cards with monsters in them from before the dawn of time or whatever.
Okay.
That's or like magical.
Like Gaim, or like the Sengoku drivers were tech, but they used the magic fruits to transform the Hellhammer fruits.
It's almost always either all fantastical, like Agito, where you fucking evolve into a Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
Or it's a mixture of technological and magical.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Forze's probably going to be technological and magical. I'm just not there yet that I've noticed.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a series that would have magic in it. I mean, I haven't seen Forze, but I've seen like lots of little pictures and gifs and stuff of it, and I've never really seen anything that resembles magic.
If there's one thing I really am enjoying about Forze, it's that he has a fucking jetpack built into his suit.
Yeah.
And it's constantly, like, spewing smoke when he's leaping around.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It's actually really awesome.
He looks like fucking shit.
He has a butt plug for a head. That is unnecessary for a Kamen Rider.
I get that it's supposed to be a rocket ship. It looks like a hard-boiled egg. It looks terrible.
Forze actually has really cool, like, gear. Like, his motorcycle is really awesome, and the power dizer can become, like, a fucking, like, launching pad for his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I also really love his transformation sequence.
Oh, yeah, he does, like, the 3-2-1, and then he pushes
He flips the switches, and then it does 3-2, and, like, every time it says a number, it makes this, like, gung sound.
Yeah.
And does a close-up on somebody's face who's watching him.
That's pretty cool.
And it cracks me up every time.
Yeah, I figure there's a reason why Forze is so popular. There's some cool shit in there.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah.
I'm going in with kind of like a tainted worldview.
Yeah.
Because if somebody continuously fucking shoves something down my throat, I have a hard time enjoying it on its own merits when I get to it.
Yeah.
It's like, you've already talked this up to such a level that it could never be as good.
Well, it's also that kind of thing where, like, you get sick of it before you've even seen it.
Yeah.
Just from seeing it everywhere and, like, absorbing so much of it through osmosis.
Yeah, so I'm on Forze now. What about you? What are you getting into now?
I'm thinking, I don't want to commit to anything, but I might watch Fize.
Really?
It looks cool. Fize or Agito, I'm thinking of.
I would suggest Agito. I fucking love Agito.
I'm sure you and everyone else in the world would suggest Agito, but
Some people really like Fize. And
yeah.
He's really cool looking.
It's got an underground fan base, I know. And every time I look at Fize, I'm like, it's fucking cool. I want to see that. It looks neat. I know it's got a bad reputation, but it looks cool. I want to give it a shot. I want to go in there with an open mind.
Think about it this way. I don't really like Fize.
Okay.
I think it's shit.
Okay.
And I'll say it straight out. I love the design so much that I watched 20 fucking episodes of it. So
it's got some nice suits.
Yeah, and the action's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Too.
Speaking of Fize, sorry, when I first started watching Kamen Rider, when I was, like, brand new to it, I thought Fize came after Forze. I thought it was, like, his double is 2.
What, are you an idiot?
What? Okay, no, double's 2, O's is 3, Forze's 4, Fize is 5. I just figured, that's how it is. Okay. Vice comes after Forze. I didn't know. Like I hadn't seen the clips of the show and how like shitty the special effects were and how old it looked. So I just figured.
Today on Rider Club Radio, we learned that Liam's an idiot.
Come on, that's a perfectly honest mistake.
If you hadn't ever seen Fize, anything related to it, I could understand that.
Okay, good, because I'd heard the name Fize, and I knew it was 555, and I was like, okay, well, all right, that's the next one.
Liam, I think you need to open your eyes.
Open your eyes for the next five. Open your nose for the next O's.
What an
Remember
original joke.
that one?
So you're gonna go into Fize next, is
No,
that what you're saying?
I might do Agito. I don't want to commit to anything just yet.
Agito does the multiple rider thing better than almost any series I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know it's got four in the end.
One of them doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's in like four episodes.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
He's the one who doesn't have his own fucking name.
The poor sap.
He's just
Another
another
Agito. He's
Agito.
just that other Agito.
Technically, Gills is also another Agito, but he has his own fucking name.
Yeah, he had a little bit of creativity, I guess. My
I guess
only.
technically, there are quite a few Agitos in the series, and you'll find that out if you watch it.
Oh, my only exposure to Agito was when Ryuki fought him in a dream. He fights Burning Agito.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the riders team up to defeat Burning Agito in Shinji's perfect world.
Yeah. Oh, also, Agito was in the Ryuki movie, that awful fucking movie, as a
Was
restaurant
he?
owner. Yeah,
Oh,
they go to like
yeah,
a
he's at the
cafe or something,
end.
and he's the owner.
And, like, Hikawa's there and everything.
Yeah. That's all I know about Agito. I don't know.
Fucking Hojo is there for some reason.
It's between those two. I haven't decided yet.
I really gotta put my vote in for Agito. I kinda wanna rewatch Agito. It's so good.
I've heard good things. I've heard very good things.
I love it. It gets episodic as well, but nowhere near like Kuga gets episodic.
Yeah, Kuga gets pretty fucking episodic.
And there's like a mystery plot in Agito that's really cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I think it tells you straight up from the beginning, Shoichi has amnesia.
Yeah, that's the normal thing in the plot,
And
yeah.
it's not like I was Weapon X amnesia or what the fuck ever. It like actually develops into an interesting plot.
Oh, okay. That sounds pretty cool. I'll decide. I'll decide.
Tell us, Liam.
Tell us
Tell
what?
us what you're gonna watch.
I don't know. I
Come
don't
on,
know.
Liam. You have 10 seconds. Time's running out, buddy
It's
boy.
time for news.
What happened in the news today?
Fucking nothing happened this week. You want to hear about
That sounds awesome. Tell me.
Okay, there's some toys coming out.
Oh, fuck you. We don't
No.
do
No,
toys.
there's a reason why I picked this
There's always a
particular.
reason
Yeah,
why.
exactly. I don't do toy news without having a good reason, and there is a good reason this time.
You guys remember when Liam said, I don't do toy news, and then he would stop? That would be the end of it.
Now it's I don't do toy news, but
But here's all the releases for the next year.
no. Look, listen, shut the fuck up, okay?
I'm
Jeff?
done.
Okay?
I'm shutting.
Okay. Fuck's sake, man. This week, again, my icon set was announced. You know the Genma
Oh
icons?
boy!
No. There is a reason. Remember last week you said you wanted the Leonardo da Vinci icon if they make one?
Yeah, I did.
Well, that's gonna be a Genma icon. I looked that up.
But it's only in the set.
I don't know. They haven't. It's gonna be. I think it was December 3rd or 4th that it's gonna be revealed what items are in the set. And then you pre-order it. It might have been the 5th. I don't know. Sometime in December. And
You
then
know what
you.
I'm sad about?
What are you sad about?
There's a Leonardo icon. There's a Raphael icon, and there's a Michelangelo icon. But there's no Donatello icon.
So close. 3 out of 4.
So close.
I found out, speaking of which, there's going to be a Napoleon icon as well. So.
Oh, yeah, I heard
Bet your
about that. You were
ass.
excited, weren't
Yeah, I'm gonna be buying that one. When you hit it and you put it in the belt, it says, "Begin the revolution. It is destiny," which is a little ironic, but
Yeah.
considering what that he crowned himself Emperor of France. But that's a subject for my other podcast, Liam's History Corner. Check it out.
Zero viewers.
With zero viewers.
What does the Leonardo icon say?
I don't know. It's a Genma icon, so I don't even know if it goes in the belt. It's going to be a Genma icon, and yeah, I don't know anything about what it looks like.
I want to transform into a Leonardo da Vinci form.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if it's going to let you.
I want that to be my form that I transform into.
I don't think so. Because you know how the Genma ones, they're like circular? It's the same kind of icon that Makoto's little sister is in.
Yeah.
It's that. That's going to be the Leonardo one. It's not going to be a form.
You think Canon is going to be a Genma?
Oh, she's going to be like, actually, I'm a Genma.
Yeah, actually, I'm a fucking ghost. Ooh.
Well, she has been dead for more than 99 days, maybe.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Well, it's, hang on.
She's not being possessed.
She's not, if you're dead for 99 days, you're gone. If you're possessed for 99 days, it's permanent. But she's, like, stuck in an icon, so that's like some sort of limbo? I don't know what it is, but maybe she's going to be like...
Takeru's in an icon.
That's true. Maybe she's going to come up and be like, everything you did was for nothing, Makoto. I've hid this from you for a long time for no apparent reason. And that would be really
funny.
Now
you can go join your best friend.
And
then they'll hug.
Oh, if that's how it goes.
And then they'll fuck.
Oh, I hope John Toei isn't listening to this and stroking his beard sensually. Yes,
like
that would
has
be
a beard
horrible.
Now.
Stroking his Fu Manchu.
Oh my god, is that racist? I don't know.
No, his name's John. He's white. It's fine.
I guess that's okay. I'll allow it. Did anything else happen at all?
Yeah. Kuga's Blu-ray box set is coming out in December.
Oh yeah, the $99 million one.
Yeah, it's probably, I don't know, if you're a multi-billionaire, you could probably afford it, but... In the Blu-ray box set, it's more than just episodes. There's going to be interviews with Joe Odagiri and also the guy that played Ichijo. They're going to be doing interviews. And a bunch of costume designers. And
I don't want to hear what Joe Odagiri has to say about Kuga.
What do you think? Do you think they would put it on the Blu-ray if he actually sat down in front of the camera and was like, yeah, this show sucks. It's balls. I hate it.
I don't know. They do it all the time.
They do
interviews all the time of him being like, yeah, Camarado, shit.
Well, hang on.
Fucking hate it.
That, I think, is more of a rumor. Like, he did say that he wasn't interested in Kamen Rider and he only did Kuga because, like, it was going to be different. But I don't think he hates Kamen Rider as much as a lot of people think. I hear he's still in touch with some people who were involved. He still buds with them. I understand, like, if he wants to distance himself from it because he's got a real career now. He's one of those Kamen Riders that actually went on to do things.
He's that Kamen Rider that went on to do things.
Well, him and Fujioka are the two that made something of themselves as actors afterwards. Oh boy, I hope no other Kamen Rider actors are hearing this.
They don't understand English, it's fine.
Tendo, you're gonna be in Girls, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's got crossover appeal because he can speak English. I actually saw a video of him on like some...
What's it? Hiro Mizushima, something like that. Tendo.
What?
The actor's name that plays Tendo.
Yeah, he was on like some talk show or something, and the hosts were like begging him to speak in English.
They love it in Japan.
And he's like, hi. All right, it's rainy out today, but I'll try my best to speak as well as I can. And everybody's like, ooh, starts clapping and shit.
Well, that's how everyone sounds when they speak English, Jeff. That's what this podcast sounds like all the time.
He has the perfect English accent.
Let's just continue to ruin any chance we could have of being friends with this man. We're gonna be like, I'm gonna meet him on the stream, be like, oh yeah, check out my podcast, and he'll be like, sure, and then he'll listen to it and be like, god, these guys are cunts.
He would know that anyway, as soon as he met you.
Yeah, it's true. He'd be like, you're Liam, right? Fuck you.
No, he'd just walk up and he'd be like, hello, and he'd be like, oh my god, a cunt is talking to me.
He'd give me the spin kick.
Yeah, he'd say, oh my god, a cunt is talking to me.
I'm excited. How's he gonna sound in Girls? Is he gonna talk like that in Girls, I wonder?
Oh yeah.
I'm still so
hyped
for
accent.
That. I've never been more hyped for an episode of Girls. that I have.
I don't think either of us... Yeah, you've been hyped for girls.
Imagine
I don't think
they
either
had...
of us have any room to be talking about people's accents, though.
Yeah, I get you don't, you fucking Texan.
You have a fucking Canadian accent,
I do
apparently.
Not have a Canadian accent. I speak
people
with a...
People picked up that you were Canadian immediately, without you ever saying you were Canadian.
You know, I think the reason why that is because all Canadians, no matter how sober we are, we, like, slur our words a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Always. It's just a thing. It's
and you
it's
say
all the
like,
Molson.
You say,
blood.
Like, a boot.
I don't say a boot. Shit.
And you finish all your fucking sentences with A? What is wrong with you?
I guess that gives it away quite a bit, huh?
If I would... You know what? If I would stop yelling yippee-ki-yay so much, maybe
people
would... If
you'd stop firing your revolvers mid-podcast, maybe. Put them away, buddy.
Jeff, you're fucking up the sound quality with your revolver fire.
I keep having to mute it out. It's really annoying.
What did you think
about?
Of the new episode of Ghost?
Can you imagine if Knight got to be on Girls? Oh.
Why would you want that? He's like 80 years old now.
He's not 80 years old. I saw
he's like 117 years old now.
I saw a commercial with him.
Was it Febreze?
No. Yeah.
All the Kamen Riders do Febreze commercials.
No, it wasn't Febreze. It was actually quite funny. It was a commercial about being nice to people. It was a public service announcement. And Knight plays like this upset businessman. He's at the park and he's like, oh, I hate my life. My life is so shit. It's so hard.
Does he have the spiked up hair still?
I think he's got the hair.
Oh my god, it's not 2002 anymore,
he's got like a salary... No, this was made during Ryuki, I think.
Oh, okay.
So he's got like the salaryman suit, and he's like, fuck everything. And then a ball rolls near him, and he kicks it back to the kids, and they're like, thanks, mister. And they run off, and he's like, hey, that felt kind of good. I did something nice for someone. And then the voices comes over, and it's like, if everybody did something nice for people, nobody would have to struggle hard in their lives. So be just like Kamen Rider Knight and be a good person.
Oh my god! Be just like Kamen Rider Knight and fucking kill everyone you know.
Okay, no, it doesn't literally say... It doesn't say any... There's no reference to Kamen Rider in it. But, I mean, the fact that they use that of all characters, that they use Knight, one of the shittiest, like, angriest, bitchiest, assholest riders in history, to get that point across... was very funny to me.
That was actually a campaign with many commercials. They also used Kamen Rider Kaiza.
I was just gonna say Kaiza.
In one commercial. It was about asking girls politely out on dates.
The commercial about all about consent featuring Kaiza.
And then at the end he gives his beautiful loving smile to the camera.
God damn it.
What the fuck were we talking about at the beginning of this?
No, I've legitimately forgot.
We were talking
Joe
about
Odagiri.
News.
Joe Odagiri interview.
Yeah, it'll be on the Blu-ray. You can hear him talk about how much he fucking hates Kamen Rider.
Yeah, he'll be like, what am I doing here? God, I hate all of you.
How much money am I being paid? Why does he keep asking that every few seconds?
Ichijo's gonna be there too, so look forward to that.
Sometimes I wonder, like, after a Kamen Rider actor leaves and doesn't come back, what do they do? Like, do they have careers and we just don't see it because we don't see anything outside of Toku?
They go, remember in Zooranger when Burai goes to that other, the room in the other dimension with the candle?
He goes to the fucking candle
They're all there in the candle space. They just sit around until it's time to come back.
Did you know that Kamen Rider Garen's actor is in Forze?
Playing who? Garen?
He's a teacher.
Really?
At the school, apparently.
Does he betray everyone again?
It's funny that everybody remembers Tachibana for, like, betrayal, but he only does it once at the beginning of the series.
Even I know him for it. I haven't even fucking seen Blade.
Yeah.
It's just one of the memes that went around.
Yeah, it's the meme, like, are you betraying us again, Tachibana?
Yeah, that line. Even in Japan, that's huge.
Yeah.
There was in a Betrayed War game, I don't remember which one, but one of the achievements you can get is named that. Have you betrayed us again or something like that? Like, they know. Their Toei knows.
Yeah, well, there's a video of, like, the Forze cast at, like, a live show.
Yeah.
Like, a stage performance for everybody, like a Q&A.
Yeah.
And somebody in the audience asks Garen's actor to do his transformation sequence, and they have all the fucking sounds queued up, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And he does his motions, and when he, like, presses the thing, instead of it making the noise, it says, turn up, and then it starts doing, like, blade memes.
Oh, no.
In the background, and he, like, collapses in defeat. It's hilarious.
I like that, and they're, like, so self-aware about it.
They keep asking him to do his transformation sequence, and sometimes he goes through it perfectly, and sometimes they start playing blade memes. And after the first time of him reacting, he never fucking reacts to it again. He just goes through his transformation sequence while it's playing.
He just says, fuck it, I know. I know this is what it's become.
He's a good sport.
He's a good sport.
He came back as Garen.
Okay. I hear we've got a nice email.
We don't. We have some emails, though.
Okay, show me the emails.
We have a question on Twitter, though, that wasn't related to Secondary Rider.
Okay.
Fofo808FTW asks...
Okay.
Favorite subgroup?
Overtime.
Overtime.
Next, please. No,
Actually, I like Orange Lion as well.
Orange Lion's pretty good. Yeah, but any subgroup that isn't fucking awful. Usually, like, all it takes is some skill in Japanese, the patience to do timing, and some common sense, and you can be a good subber.
Who did the Kuga subs?
Midnight Crew did the
Kuga
subs.
Yeah, I like Midnight Crew a lot as well.
Yeah, they do some old stuff, too, when they got the time, so that's nice, too.
Yeah, I like Midnight Crew a lot, so it's between Midnight Crew and Overtime for me.
I like HK Bootleg, personally.
They're the most true to what it's like to watch Kamen Rider in China.
I like accurate scripts, yeah. It's it's the experience of watching in China, exactly.
You know, I'm going to go through these emails, and I'm just going to go ahead and change our names to our actual names to dissuade you people from continuing this.
Okay, go for it.
Dear Jeff and Liam, you were discussing opening themes last episode, and it got me wondering, what are your favorite openings from Kamen Rider? Mine is probably either O's or Den-O, and this is Dewey Defeats Truman.
Oh, it's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him.
What's your favorite, buddy? Favorite opening theme?
Probably, I don't know the name of the song, but No Fear, No Pain.
Oh, yeah.
Kuga.
The Kamen Rider Kuga theme.
So catchy, that song.
It really is.
That's the kind of thing that gets stuck in your head for days. And there's a full English version of it that you can watch. Well, English is in huge quotation marks, but, like, it's a...
Oh, yeah. I listened to it for a good, like, 25 seconds, maybe 30, before I realized that they were singing in English.
Yeah, it's very difficult. But when you listen to it, and it gets to the part where it says, no fear, no pain, there's a part that happens that doesn't happen in the Japanese version where the guy says, no fear, and then in the background there's, like, these female backup singers that say, no fear, no pain, and they, like, lead after the main singer, and it sounds great, and I don't know why it's not in the original, but...
I like it better without it. I like the original better.
I like that little backup singer thing, but I strongly prefer the Japanese version, because the singer is actually singing in his native voice, his native language.
It sounds pretty goofy in English, but it's still enjoyable.
Yeah. Like, what about you, Jeff? What's your favorite?
Oh, God, that's tough. You always answer these questions, like, immediately, and I'm always like, I don't know.
Probably because I steal your answer, right? Like, how do you beat Kuga's intro?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
If
we're going to go for, like, all time, I'm going to have to go with Kamen Rider Zekros.
Oh, is Dragon Road Zekros?
Dragon Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Dragon Road.
Dragon Road is my favorite opening theme of all time.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
If we're going Heisei only, if I can't choose Kuga, I'm going to choose Ready to Go Count Zero, Kamen Rider Agito.
Oh, I've heard that one was good.
It's beautiful. It is a beautiful song.
Well, maybe I'll find out if I don't make a bad decision.
Maybe you better fucking do it.
I'm still seriously considering Fies. It looks cool.
Our next email is from Russell.
Okay.
And he says, hey, Jeff and Liam, here's your ego boost.
Thank you. I need one of those per week.
So anyway, what's your favorite insert song from all of Kamen Rider? Mine would probably be Kakusei, because it's amazing, but I want to know what you guys think.
I'm going to steal Jeff's answer again, what I believe to be Jeff's answer. I don't know the name of the song, but it's the song that plays when Kamen Rider Black transforms. I think it's like...
Oh, yeah.
The show doesn't start using it until like the 30s or something, but it's so good.
It's the best.
The one with like the choir in the background, it's like,
yeah.
That's so... Oh my god.
It is the best tokusatsu song ever.
I think it is my number one song in tokusatsu, period. It's so fucking great.
That wasn't my answer, but it's a good answer.
Really? What's your answer?
My answer is Believe Yourself from Agito.
Oh, yeah. You showed me that one. That's a really good song.
Yeah, anytime Believe Yourself comes on, which is almost once per episode.
Okay.
Nothing on earth will get me more hyped than when those fucking guitar chords come in and I'm something's about to fucking explode.
It's got an amazing opening riff.
It's so awesome that when we played Kamen Rider Tabletop through two games, anytime shit got really awesome, somebody would play that song.
Music really enhances a tabletop RPG.
It does.
It's great.
Especially, like, ambient music.
Yeah, have it in the background.
Let's see. Who is
that
next?
Everything?
Who is next?
Who could it be?
Hey, Jeff and Liam. It'll most likely never happen, but do you think Ryder would benefit from having shorter seasons?
Yes.
With Drive, if you try to recommend the show to someone, you have to start with the disclaimer. It's good, but it takes 25 episodes before the plot finally starts.
Yes.
I am of two minds on this. Because while I agree that a lot of each season of Kamen Rider could probably be chopped out,
mm-hmm.
I think that we would still get that filler.
You think?
And there would be less plot because of it. Because those episodes are far easier to script and shoot.
That's true.
So I just think the plots would become thinner in general.
I think in an ideal world, a Kamen Rider series would be shorter but still good. Like, there are some...
Maybe like 25 episodes?
Yeah, there are some seasons that I like the whole way through. Like, I wouldn't cut down Gaim and I wouldn't cut down Ryuki. But there are a lot that I would cut down. Like, even series that I really liked, like Kuga or Kabuto, I would cut down them drastically. I think they would really, really improve if you, like, sheared them down a little. So I'm not sure, like, if I had to go all or nothing, which one I would take, but I think there are definitely some Kamen Rider series that would benefit from that. And Drive is another one, yeah. If Drive just got to the shit, it would be a lot better.
Think about, like, some of the Rider series, once they get towards the end, they start to, like, plot dump, and the show starts to move at, like, breakneck speed.
Yeah.
I think that would just be even more condensed. Like, the show would be full of filler. If it was 25 episodes, they would be, like, still 15 episodes of filler, like, 18 episodes of filler, and then they would supercharge the last few episodes to finish the story.
Well, okay, in a perfect world, though, it
in
would
a perfect
work.
World, yeah, I think they would benefit from having shorter seasons. Or, in a really perfect world, they would have enough content to fill out a full season.
Yeah, that would be great. That happens very rarely, but it would be very nice. Ah, well.
And
is that everything?
If you, my question this week, this is Cyberman Worf.
Okay.
It's been a while since I last emailed, but I still enjoy the podcast. My question for the week is that if you could make the most overpowered Rider ability you could think of, what would it be, and would they still job to the main Rider of the next series that comes after them?
If you could make the most overpowered Rider ability?
Mm-hmm.
If you've read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you might have read Part 5, Vento Aureo.
Oh, wait, the last email was from Ice Tyrant.
Okay, alright, thank you for clearing
Sorry,
that
I forgot to say that.
In JoJo Part 5, there's a guy, I won't give away who it is or what the circumstances are because it's a bit of a spoiler, but there's a guy with a power who... the language they use is he reduces things to zero, like everything to zero, like even concepts, including your will to fight him, to zero. So like you can like go up against him and be like, oh, I'm gonna punch you, and he'll be like, no, you're not gonna. You thought you were gonna, but you're not. I think if a writer had that,
How would the next rider defeat him and make him look like a bitch? Would he just kick him with a really, really big explosion?
He would use his finisher, and the character would go, and get hit anyways, even though he's all-powerful. What about you?
If anybody listening to this podcast is an avid reader or watcher now, I guess, of One Punch Man...
We're just pulling shit from other mangas,
yeah,
and animes.
I would have a Kamen Rider whose finisher was strong enough to obliterate anything in existence.
In one punch.
In one punch.
In
and
one
his
very
attacks,
lazily delivered punch.
And his normal attacks were even, like, earth-shattering. And the next rider would just have psychic powers.
Okay, perfect.
Fuck him up immediately.
How would the main... Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's the answer I got for you. Liam stole my actual answer that they would just kick them harder and the explosion would be larger.
It's just he would forget about his power at the most convenient moment and then that would be his downfall.
Just like every Kamen Rider in a crossover. Anytime Kabuto's ever lost in a crossover, is like, holy shit, I forgot I can stop time.
He was reaching over to the side of his belt, and they keep interrupting him, and he's like, no, guys.
Hold on a second, god damn it!
The one time you see him win is in Heisei versus Showa, and guess what? He abuses the shit at a clock up.
Yep.
Stronger doesn't stand a fucking chance.
He's using it against a guy who doesn't fucking have it, or anything like it either. He's just electric.
I can shoot electricity out of my hands. Ah, I'll get you.
I can touch things and turn them red, and they disappear.
See, that's Kabuto's. He's already red. There's nothing you can do. How did Stronger stand a chance?
Stronger was already vastly outmatched. Is that all we have to talk about this time, Lou?
Yeah, I don't got nothing.
If you guys want to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Rider Club Radio, or you can send us a nice email. That's riderclubradio@gmail.com. You can send us an angry dissertation about how Kuga sucks.
It wasn't that angry. I read
it. Wasn't angry,
it was,
actually.
It was
cool-headed, and I understand where he's coming from. We got an email... So I might as well just fucking say his name.
This is our last
now.
Email, isn't it? We're just gonna throw this in there.
I'm not actually gonna like get into it. His name is Cetarex.
Okay.
And he went into why he doesn't like Kuga, and he said, "P.S. Kiva is awesome." So fuck you.
You're entitled to your opinion, but get out of here.
You're entitled to your opinion, but you're not invited to our club.
You're not invited to the Rider Club consisting of two people.
And he says, he brings up a point that I'd actually like to take a second to talk about if anybody's still listening to this podcast.
Okay.
People shut it off when we start introducing the
this is the secret.
Email and shit.
This is the secret for the true section. Fans who stick around to the very end.
Only the truest fans. He says, if you had bothered to watch more than 4 episodes, you would know Kiva is awesome. And I wonder, that's an argument that I hear a lot between a lot of people, not just lobbied at me, is that no matter how many episodes of something you've watched, people will say, oh, but if you would have watched more, you would know that it's good.
Yeah.
Is that a decent argument? Because sometimes, I mean, like, I watched more of Blade and it turned out to be good.
Yeah, so you never know. Maybe Kiva kicks it up a notch.
I didn't hate Blade. I just thought it was bad and I didn't want to watch it. But I hated Kiba.
Maybe.
Like, I could not stand the main character.
Maybe some people's opinions are different from ours. And that's...
I think that's the truest lesson we can learn today, Liam.
Oh, I hate that, though. I hate when people's opinions are different from mine.
How dare they think differently?
Fuckers.
Where is Mega Hex when I need him to just make us all part of the commune? The commune that knows Kuga is great.
You know what? At least they're willing to say, at least they're not just agreeing with us around every turn. I appreciate it.
That's true. If you have a different opinion than us, write in. We probably won't read it on the air, but because fuck you for having a different opinion. But
we
actually like to see... We actually like to see dissension and to see where people are coming from who like different things than us. It gives an insight into something we had no insight into.
If you want me to watch Fize, please state your case, or else I'm probably going to watch Agito.
The truth comes out.
Oh, I'm leaning that way. Your endorsement was pretty strong.
Like, if you want to write in and tell us why you like Kiva, why you think it's awesome, I'd actually like to read that, because I have no fucking clue why somebody would like Kiva.
That would be probably a fun email.
The thing is, there's no other Rider series that I genuinely just would never watch again.
So turn Jeff. See if you can turn Jeff's brain
around.
Maybe
you can talk me into it.
Challenge
like I was talked into giving Blade another chance, and I enjoyed it then. I just can't see that happening with Kiva. I'd actually watch Decade again, and I think that series is shit. So.
Ooh. Wow, okay.
I watched all of it.
You never
Come at me with that argument. If you would have watched the movies, you would know it's great.
If you would have, did you watch every second of every episode? Did you turn it off before the credits were over?
Yeah, I turned it off.
Yeah, fuck
before
you.
Before coming, sing, and
you
dance
didn't really
with us
see
after
it.
The commercial.
You didn't really watch the show then, Joe.
There's the argument.
I don't think I've seen a Kamen Rider series yet that I actually hate, but that could change any day now.
Yeah. If you want to write in and get our names wrong because you think it's funny, you can also continue doing that. That's fine.
Okay, we'll put up with it. We will merely tolerate.
It's not annoying or anything. It's just so many people are like, I'm the funny one.
You're all
Here's
the funny
your
one.
Here's your silly name.
You're all the funny one in my heart.
Somebody called me Jim Bob. That was pretty funny.
Jim Bob. Yeah, it plays into you being a southerner.
Oh. What would they call you, like Beaver Fucker?
That's got to start with an L.
Is that a real name?
Beaver
Fucker. L Beaver Fucker?
I had a professor named L. Beaver Fucker. He did Canadian history.
I've read some of his dissertations.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
I wish he would stop chewing the pages, though.
Fuck. That wasn't even a joke, and I laughed at it. Just, just go.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Goodbye.
See you next time.